I was drawn to her by the puzzle in the curfew. They had been in Barcelona for 6 months, and when she said to follow her into bed in her apartment, the heavens opened and there saw me from the floor. We found the bar and took refuge there in the floor. The barman was an Irishman. He smelled stale smoke and nothing more. He was liberal with complimentary birds. We were polite, really even polite.
Thank you, girls. And next up to the mic, we have Mary O'Connell.
This is called Acid Test. Lemon blossom delicateness lace trembles on lifting air, thrills my senses with its zest, washes stainless from the throat, dullness from the eye. Lured by its aromatic tang, I look for the fruit itself. Seeing my childlike wonder, they tell me not to eat the old injunction of forbidden fruit. I've seen a sliver turn a beverage from bland to pungent in an instant, remembering wedges half buried in a clinking glass of ice. A civilizing touch. My tongue tingles at the thought, blade flash as the knife sinks deep, cutting to the core. Pips fly, flesh exposed, pale and leprous on the chopping board. I blink in disbelief, eyes smarting from a spurt of juice. How could I ignore the bitter truth? All I can do is squeeze it dry, throw away the rind.
Thank you, Mary. I'm afraid to guess what the metaphor there was. Next up, we have Judy Field.
Broken home. You crept inside me like airborne bacteria, walked your fungal feet all down my back. A deer in disguise almost worth pressing, an enviable performance worth a thousand slaps. I slap your face with every thought, whip your skin with every blink. Bitterness simmers, but anger bubbles. The cement walls of our home are about to crack. You scratch at my gaze so I cannot recognize myself inside or out. Inside out, you leave me raw. Twist me, knead me, tighten me, bake me. I chop chili with an oversized knife, liking the weight of its shape in my grip. I scare myself to get out to you. Imagining life without your brows, just from fear to fantasy. I placed the short stick I drew 3 years ago in the top drawer, alongside your socks. I pack my bag to an adrenaline beat, pick up her child with a conga-like scoop, march to the room where your stale breath moves its nasty way, declare my withdrawal from our life together. Our home will miss my face, our child will miss yours. You mumble an apology with pathetic posture, not noticing that I mean it this time. I am gone, I am gone. The knife slips through my finger, chili swims with my blood. The sting reawakens and senses me. I am here, still fucking here. Anger bubbles, ebbs and flows. I will leave one day and not look back. You will lose your faith in this blackened cave we once called home. You can keep the cushions and cuddly toys to remind you of days when you were soft and loved.
Thank you, Julie. And next up, we have Sinead Ryan.
Hi. This doesn't have a title. What I want you to know about me is this: I am scared almost all of the time of the silliest things. Then a bee buzz or a lion roar, and I'd head running for the hills. Then you put me in the hills and I'd be afraid of the dark and the cows or fucking beetle. Then it's all good though, because I know it's foolish. I know in my head I'm okay, even if my skin doesn't know the same. My skin crawls and sweats, but it crawls and sweats with other fears too. Fears as old as time, maybe, but only started in 98. Those fears are there every day, and each and every day I try to find a way to fight. I hear a voice, remember a light. There was a camera on the building across the way. Funny the things you latch onto. But I don't give a fuck what I have to latch onto. I'll find it. Silly fears to distract me or even find happiness, but I'll do it. I won't lose my life over that. I won't die, and I won't be dead. And if my mind is riddled with questions, so what? I did nothing wrong. I have my life, and I'm going to keep it. But sometimes the worst of it is that the other doesn't even know about the fight I have within me just to live. And I mean really live, not just exist as a shell. I write because I'm always afraid. Sometimes afraid of people seeing the black inside. I know that I am not alone. Everybody fears. You fear something. I'd love to know what. So I guess I'm saying that I know this is how I'm unoriginal. Same old ding dong for me as every other quote unquote tortured soul. I know at the end I'll be judged. I'll probably be found wanting. Because I don't know how I'm going to find a way to like you. And do I even have to like you at the end? Maybe all I need is to forgive. But I guess I'm not the forgiving type. Or maybe God wouldn't ask that of me. Or maybe I'd rather go to hell.
This poem is about aimed to anybody who's ever won the game or so of the our psychiatric care system. It's not long between the sun rising and setting. Once you are in, all is all light. It comes available, you carve the food. In the coffee house, I was with a cheap perfume. I brought me a whole new wardrobe and did what anybody else would. The table is deserted, he's saying his mocking laughter. You, poison the atmosphere at every coffee break. Don't you just dare throw your poison placebos, antitonic, tranquilizers, sedatives, SSRIs, MRIAs at me. I'm not a creature to be poisoned. They will keep the patient sedated. They will poison me towards the end chapter. Then what keeps the patient sedated? I was sedated, grumpy, smiling. You've got blisters now. I can tell that none that matters. Hope was in the cradle of wars. More light and dark were continually warning hands. I had stopped reading, seeing light. When life returns, I do not want to see this for fear of sins being uncovered, domestic duty sealed. Me and my corpse would have to be embalmed. Or let my neutral candle with best chairs be my shout. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. And next we have Anne-Marie Gushing.
Escape some miracle of the mind, no doubt.
What is so wrong with my mind that I cannot rest? All it does is shout. For I am passion's daughter, and I can see both sides. Chaos is my father, from whom I run and hide.
Thank you, Debs. And next we have Kieran McCarthy.
Cage. Long shadows cast on hope, a hope thinned in water, hanging from a piece of rope, youth's future self-slaughtered, by their own perceptions of easy, lost in a lack of belief. What's been said, except let be, for in question lies a thief of time, a thief of simplicity and age, time puts change in our puts chains on our choices. Waste is eternity in a cage, spoiled by aged voices. I see only what is there, looking blind at all that's fine, to a generation that doesn't care, a rolling marble that doesn't shine. For what could they see when their future left a chance? How could they be? How could they dance? Led by a constant ignorance of all perceived wisdoms, a tradition bringing arrogance and a hope bringing schisms. Harboring in a lordless malaise, somewhere between nonsense and nothing, the faithless show an empty gaze, no goal, no peace, no king. Grey consumed what once was bright, silent screens of suppressed rage. Without faith there is no light. Here we are. Here is the cage.
Thank you, Kira. Next we have Joe Collins.
Trying to feel the air that sets free, to feel the breeze, to see the light, to find strength through it, to heal. I've lost my path, everything has stopped. Trying to reignite what's lost and start again and be free, be me. Don't know where to go nor what to do. Need to find something new and stop doing things that are killing me. And instead slow down and see the light through the trees and the sky, release fresh dreams for you and I. Leaving, moving on, trying to feel firm and be strong so as not to fall and lose it all. And another short one. Keep strong, relax, don't feel alone or have a freak attack. Everything will work out soon. Everything will sit right back.
Thanks, Joe. We went through 10 poets very quickly there. So we're down to the last poet. So if anyone else would... Match?
Yep.
Yeah. So we'll call up Simon first, and Simon Deaton.
I'm not going to read all this. No, it's just two kind of shortish poems I'm going to read there. So I work in a call center, so that's the only explanation necessary. But there's two poems, and one of them kind of leads into the other. So the first one is called Team Lead. He was still my team lead. He had to bring me in too, just like everybody else, to the soulless room where I needed to depart. More than anywhere else in the world. The room without life. The room without living. The vacuum room, I called it, but nobody knew that. Now sure, there was laughing in there, but laughing that might make a man cry if you could play back his face to him. Smiling a half-wincing smile and laughing. like a dying fish on a board or a baby wailing. Their endless one-on-ones broke up the day, like rocks flung into mud. They incentivized my life, my reasons for being, constantly. A dung beetle's masterpiece hardens every evening. It then looks bigger in the morning than the morning before that. How could he see that he and it were just a creator and a great mound of hardened shit? And only one still growing. The gods have got to keep it from them, I thought. And the team needs to. It's just going to follow on from that, and it's called Child Labour. So what would you like to be for Q4, he asked. Q4, he said. The fourth quarter, Christmas time. Now he chimed it, like a man with all the warmth and pleasantry of an air hostess telling me that she'd just gone and slit my tires. Christmas time, he went on. Your second one. I thought, no. Wait a fucking minute. Surely I've had more than one? Or maybe he was right. Maybe I was born sometime last year, right before I started working here. Jesus, I thought instantly. I shouldn't even be here. I'm not even fucking two. I thought, okay, come on. Now my niece is three, and she gets to wander around all day, eating, playing, pooing, and doing whatever the hell she wants to do. I mean, if her pants feel tight, she just takes them off and throws them at your head. My parents aren't the loosest, I thought, looking at his head. And then I thought, okay, no, grow up. Whatever the hell she wants to do. And here's me, 2 years younger, having to listen to this guy and lie. Well, you know, I convinced him, I wanted and even felt enthusiastic about being a coach for the new hires during Q4, without once actually considering Q4 and what did it. Like I know not to look into a Big Mac right before I bite. If people did, there would be whole Big Macs left in boxes all over the world, mysterious. As if they had been made of the meat of a million lonely hearts who shook off destinies that found them out again. And so I went back to my desk, put on my headset, and pretended that I was on a call. Now that I was good at. Now that, I thought, that I could teach you. And due to my skill, I had some time on my hands, and so I wrote a poem, and I called it Child Labour. And since I wrote it, hasn't changed the world or anything at all from what I can tell, but hey, apparently I'm only one, so I have the whole life ahead of me to get good at stuff.
Thank you, Simon. Is there no one else that likes to say a poem tonight? I'm getting my N's and T's mixed up, sorry about that. Taj. So it's end even, Taj.
Three poems, if that's okay. And the three of them came on a visit to Dachau with a choir that I sing with, a choir called the Fleischmann Choir, we were in Dachau last October. And quite a kind of remarkable place, like it left an impression on me. And the poem kind of came slowly during the year. One from actually came when I was there, and that'll be that short. And so, Bielen Dank Alois is the name of Dank, the person who we've gone there to honour. He was the person whom the choir was named after, Alois Fleischmann. Snow-capped alpine giants, distant scenes, glisten with fading sun, silently. Skyline that's a god, goddess, and sex, below palace parapet and awesome Dachau one October. Setting scene for old and well-loved songs, in splendid ceiling and palace hall, by Juno, Pluto, Pan, and Jupiter and self adornment in glorious Dhaka of 1 October. Sun with mirth encouraged the dizzy heights by loving, patient, masterful hands. Slew Margie's deep, skillfully scaled, crested, and spectacularly crescendoed in harmonious Dhaka of 1 October. Lavish and abundant hospitality akin to Krokan's own land by a kind and noble people, unfairly stained by long past sin and amour. Raise hearts and beat with humility and pride anew in sad Dhaka of 1 October. Colour crisp, cool air, friendships forever forged, a link to last a lifetime in lovely Dhaka, 1 golden October. Brew of hops and barley, wine and endless song, mirth and pleasure, priceless in a golden days. With deepest gratitude, we reluctant to take our leave, return now to the beautiful city, hearts will ache for sweet Dhaka, a glorious October. This one is inspired by somebody I met. She was a guide in the concentration camp there. The guides there, they work for nothing. And it's kind of like, almost an apology to the world, like, for what went on in the concentration camp in Dhaka. And this one really, like, to me, I just had huge admiration for what she did and how she did it. Called Angel of Dhaka. Expose your soul, dear Margaret. Allow the heart to leave. Christ-like to your community, your ancient soul with reverence speaks, with love labours, to heal a scar not of your making. Such selfless act has not unnoticed gone, your halo like a beacon shines, lights the darkness, cleanses the hearts of long past loveless deeds, to act without love the only sin, not yours. Bathed in God's light, a translucent being, you, drop by drop, atom by atom, purify a place long held in shadow deep, to a people thus shamed, a dazzling ray of hope is sent, the living to angel in Dhaka. And this one, of truth and humility, it's just... ancient Dhaka sparkles aloft above the Bavarian plain, a cobbled hamlet twisting and winding, streets with promises of secrets of an innocent past, those days and days of echoes, through dreamers' eyes, flags unfurled, blowing in alpine breezes, proudly atop elegant palace, modest and solemn, then jacket people await beneath. Beckons passing royal, resident or ruffian, invited, spend a quiet moment in solitude, forgiving and gentle God. All in her time, place of art and music for literary expression, human joy, unbridled, unburdened, and allowed to trumpet. The best of being, man or woman, direct from soul to soul, the very listened. So also did Berlin, sent jackboot and swastika to silence her and steal her good name, to ever and always associate her word with mutilated Jew and German with the decency to defend. This darkness did its dastard deed too well. Sweet Dhaka, like a bleeding sore, poked and prodded evermore, for dignity again you will restore, soothed by truth and your own lore, how it all was before. Violated like a chattel whore, bleeding and abandoned, left to die stranded on a Bavarian plain, exposed to laid naked for all to see your pain, no subtle child on birth that now bears your name. Testament to that legacy of shame. In the age of time will your dignity return, almost as old as the sun, your rocks, the dust that is your bones, that also was the bones of others past, even the murdered, mingle and merge with mystery, the methods of our maker, in immeasurable time heals all that will be made whole. Dhaka, the day will come, your lustre revealed again to the eyes of all, your penitence, your humility, your healer, testament that life always prevails.